You know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
When it comes to traditions, Somas Nut House comes to mind. Nuts, candies, trail mix, dried fruit and gift baskets are affordable for all your needs. Also perfect for your corporate clients. Available online and can be shipped anywhere in the U.S. at www.somasnuthouse.com. Somas Nut House is a landmark in Ventura County and was founded by Stephen Resnick and his parents. Grandma Resnick is now 100 years young, and she continues to provide input to grandchildren, Rebecca and Jeremy, as they carry on this family tradition at Somas Nut House, located at 4475 Los Angeles Avenue, right off the 118 in Somas. Call Somas Nut House at 1-800-266-NUTS. That's 1-800-266-NUTS. That's right. Everyone needs nuts in their life. If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. We bring the wholesale directly to the public. Call us today, 805-604-1568, or visit us online at www.surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA will help make your dream home a reality.
To the Brighter Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the Brighter Side of Recovery on the Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here this afternoon. And you have tuned in to the Brighter Side of Recovery. And Sherry's not here with us, but Jennifer is. Jennifer, how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Very good. And we've got Warren Broad. Warren, how are you?
I'm great. Happy to be here.
Thank you so much. And again, for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, Warren Broad is with 10 years experience as a clinical hypnotherapist, addiction counselor, specialist, and coach. He comes all the way from Canada for us. But Warren, tell everybody a little bit about where you're at and what you're doing and how you can help everybody.
Well, happy to be here, as I said. And yes, I specialize in addictions and compulsive behaviors and helping individuals reach areas in their lives that may have been challenges or they may have been challenged by in traditional methods. And I work as their coach and as their sponsor and help people achieve what they're really looking to achieve in recovery.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of our show today. And give out your website so everybody can know how to get in touch with you.
Sure, thank you. It's warrenbroad.com.
Okay, very good. Well, we have a great show for you today. And, of course, our first guest is going to be Panache Desai. Panache, is that how you pronounce your name?
That is how you pronounce my name.
I got it. All right. I love it. And I'm so excited to be talking about your book, Discovering Your Soul Signature, a 33-day path to purpose, to your purpose, passion, and joy. What an amazing. I can't read. I've been kind of skimming through it, and I can't wait to find out more about you. I've heard great things. Also, we're going to be talking with Charles Rubin, and he's the author. He's written a couple books, but Don't Let Your Kids Kill You. I mean, this is just a guide for parents, drug and alcohol addicted children. And so really what we do here is really just bring out the brighter side of recovery, because we're all working through it. Whatever you are waking up to in your life, that's something that all of our experts here can help you with. And I just want to give a little shout out to Evolve Treatment Centers is one of our huge sponsors. Mendy over there is just so helpful. And that is a treatment center for 13 through 18. Anybody struggling with addiction or mental health issues. And as we talked in our earlier shows, that it's so important that we as parents or the people that are our children's support team, that they find somebody to help them, because if not, they will self-medicate themselves. And of course, the show is brought to you by Soba Recovery Center in Malibu. The staff at Soba Recovery is fully devoted to writing and ridding one of addiction in anything that you're going through, drug, alcohol, dependency, and relapse. A lot of people think they're almost there and they have a little relapse. Soba Recovery is all the way there for that. Also, another part of recovery is Center for Eating Recovery, and that's the Hunger Balance. And that's Allison, and she's got a program over there. So again, Center for Eating Recovery is all of our amazing people that we have here working for you to try and get, you know, us to have the brighter side in life. So again, the phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And of course, we always like to give back to our listeners and our guests. And I would love to start off with a $25 gift certificate to Lures Cafe. And that is an amazing fish restaurant. They're in Ventura, they're in Camarillo, they're in Westlake, and now in Santa Barbara. So we love to give back here, and so this is what it's all about. So definitely write that phone number down, 419-0008, and we're going to be giving stuff away all the way through our show. I do want to remind you that all of our guests here are written in our newsletter that goes out every week, and when you call up, ask to be a part of that. We will send you a newsletter. We're growing leaps and bounds, and everybody has a little blog in it. Warren, you always do a great job, and we found out a little bit about Panache. Jennifer, Sherry, everybody kind of adds to it. So you find out really kind of behind the scenes of what we're talking about. So again, you can always go on kim@kimpaganoshow.com, send me an email and say, I want to be a part of that. So with that, you are just tuning in to The Brighter Side of Recovery, and let's welcome our first guest, Panache Desai. Panache, are you there?
I am here.
Thank you so much for joining us here today. And, of course, we've got Warren Broad and Jennifer and Tom here. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a contemporary thought leader and someone who's been actively out in the world just communicating the impact of emotional clutter and what happens as human beings when we buy into this conditioning that we shouldn't be feeling certain things, or that in some way we should standardize our expression to conform to society's definition of what it means to be human. ultimately, when we forgo our individuality, we suffer, and then we find ways to numb ourselves, because quite honestly, it's too painful for us not to be authentically who we've been created to be. And so discovering your soul signature came about as a result of my Oprah appearance, and the impact of that, basically her just urging me to share this message in the form of a written word. And it's been a wonderful tool that people have used to step out of judgment into acceptance and to begin to integrate parts of their humanity that they believe were wrong or bad. Ultimately, it's been a platform for people to come into a state of self-love.
Wow. Well, that says it all right there. Right. Warren, what do you have to say in regards to that?
Well, it's just I find it really inspiring that we continue to have these great people on that are giving us these amazing tools to discovering truly what we are under all the layers that we tend to show on the surface.
Isn't that interesting that underneath everyone's layer, you can pull back. You don't even have to pull back so many layers before you really see a little bit more of the true person that they are, besides what you see just on an everyday basis.
Yeah, so true.
And it is interesting because it's something universal. It's something universal. When you finally are able to be the purpose and find your gift within yourself, you kind of just can put your shoulders back and kind of relax, because it's like who you were meant to be.
I kind of equate it to like a relationship between siblings. Your parents know who you are, your friends know who you are, but your siblings, I feel like, really know the ins and outs of you, because they've known you, they have such a history with you, and they know what scares you, what makes you happy. You really know your siblings, and I feel like if somebody really knows you like a sibling, they probably know the real you.
Ooh.
Well, actually, I'd say that people don't really know who you are. They just know their perception of you.
Absolutely.
Because who you are is you. And I think that that's why a lot of people end up in recovery. Because for me, recovery is nothing more than realignment. And right. It's coming back to who we are. And I think that, you know, the more we take on other people's projections of who we are or judgments of who we are, the more we're stifled. And that leads to then the repression or suppression. And also, I've restated addiction to be distraction, because I think it's a much broader issue than people, you know, give it credit for. I think that in any given moment where we take ourselves out of the experience of what we're feeling, we're distracting ourselves. And that also eradicates a lot of the stigma and the judgment that's placed on this community, especially, so that we can actually get back to a place of resolution and, you know, transcend that label of recovery into recovered, which is actually entirely possible.
Isn't that why they say most people abuse drugs or alcohol? They want to not feel what they're feeling.
Well, that's one reason, but also some people abuse drugs and alcohol as a way of belonging.
Mm. Right, that's
true. Yeah, well said.
And so, you know, there's a myriad of complexity involved in, you know, drug and alcohol, sex addiction, food addiction, whatever it is. And I think that ultimately the core essence of it is that we are being informed by a world that doesn't love and accept itself. And we're looking for a place of belonging in a world where, quite honestly, individuality isn't celebrated. And what we have to do more than anything is stay true to who we are, you know, authentically connect with who we are. And in that moment, we begin to understand that we're more than a mind and a body and a story. We're actually something transcendent, something that's perfect.
How beautiful. And, you know, I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to The Brighter Side of Life and in Recovery. And we're talking with Panache Desai. Panache, tell us a little bit about your journey.
Well, my journey's been one of being born into a spiritual family. I'm Indian, so on the weekends you watch Bollywood movies and go see spiritual people. It's just kind of what you do. And as a kid, we'd go see all these spiritual teachers, and they always say to me, "We've been waiting for you." And I just found this whole thing to be very strange. I was very empathic, very connected. I could feel and know things about people that I didn't want to feel or know. And subsequently, that caused a lot of conflict in me because, you know, nobody else was like that. And ultimately, I started to make myself wrong. And just the sheer weight of the pain, I think, that we feel every day as people who are human beings gets to a point of unworkability, and eventually we find ways to distract ourselves. And so I decided to get involved in music and became very famous in the underground music scene and engaged in everything that was a part of that until eventually I got to a place where I realized that that wasn't my destiny, that it was too painful for me not to be who I am, and underwent like a 3 to 6 month period of just meditation. child to uncover my soul signature.
Wow, what a journey. I mean, really, thank you for sharing that. You know, it's kind of, and Warren, please help me out here, do we even know who we are? I mean, really, you know what I mean? Because to me, it's like a different season. It's just a different day. Every day you have new feelings that come up. And if you're having any turmoil in your life, sometimes it doesn't come up with the same feeling every day. I mean, you don't.
Right. And we wear so many different hats. We're not just one person. I mean, we are one person, but we are expected to do so many different things. It's hard to know who's really who you are.
Right. Warren?
I think it's an interesting thing. One of my favorite authors who writes about it, and I often think it's a good way to look at it, is Eckhart Tolle talks about us being, we're not the voice. We are the space between the voices. That's what is constant. And that when we access that stillness that exists between all the racing thoughts, between what I call in my book, monkey mind. That's who we are, is that space in between. Because yes, we wear different masks in all sorts of different circumstances, and that's necessary. But what's constant is what's in between them.
Right, right. Panache?
I think that question is a question that, you know, it's been answered in so many different ways. And for me, the joy has been to make it experiential. And, you know, we hear concepts like enlightenment and the space between the thoughts, and, you know, the observer and all of these different concepts. And I think that at some point it has to translate into your experience. And how it translates into your experience is basically when you feel at peace, you're connected to who you really are.
When you feel at peace. Yeah.
Right. To be at peace, because the experience of peace is the experience of your enlightenment.
Okay.
You're who you are as a whole and complete being. And, of course, in the modern world, we're pulled in a million different directions, and of course all of those directions for the most part take you out of that connection to yourself. And so just one thing that everyone can do right now,
please
just start to rest in the awareness of their breath. Just simply observe your inhalation and exhalation. It's always there. It's not weird. It's not woo-woo. You don't have to wear tie-dye. Nobody will know that you're doing it. Observe your inhalation and exhalation. That in and of itself will transform your life and your experience.
Can you explain that? Can you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Yes, because we're only ever breathing in each moment. And long before Eckhart Tolle, you know, there were so many people who talked about non-dualism. And I come from a 5,000-year-old civilization that has articulated this over and over again throughout the ages. And ultimately, I've realized that in the modern world, we don't have the time to sit and meditate in the way that, you know, people used to. You know, we've got responsibilities, we've got certain things that we have to be accountable for on a daily basis. And so meditation has to stop being prescriptive. Meditation, in its simple expression, is awareness. And so if we can anchor our awareness with our breath, if we can observe our breath, literally watch it, what happens is our life becomes a living meditation. We start to access a place of peace and connection, calm. Everything slows down, the central nervous system calms down, everything starts to regenerate and replenish and rebuild. Before you know it, that becomes our new normal. So at that point, you start to navigate life's experiences congruently and harmoniously. There's a level of coherence that becomes available to us that wasn't available before. And so if there's anything that I can advocate right now for anyone who's struggling with any issue, become aware of your breath. Just stop, just slow down. Just observe your breath. Do it at home. Do it religious environment, you can do it in a non-religious environment, in the boardroom. You know, I've got people doing it from all over the world, from world leaders to CEOs, corporations, to people in Ohio who are waking up to their true divine nature, to people who are struggling with addiction. It doesn't matter. The very second we start, we slow down and we start to breathe, we start to access something transcendent, something real. It's time for a real application of spiritual thought.
Wow.
It isn't there. It's like it's useless.
I feel like you brought that spiritual peace in me just
inside
now.
Into our studio.
Yeah, I love it. Again, for anybody that's just tuning in with us right now, you have tuned in to The Brighter Side of Recovery. I've got Warren Broad, Jennifer Chastain, Tom Spence. I'm Kim. And we're talking with Panache Desai. We're talking about discovering your soul signature. Why did you write and create the 33-day path?
Actually, in all honesty, I was against writing.
Really?
I could see that the entire self-help genre had just become very diluted. It was almost like everyone was getting involved in it just to become rich and famous. And for me, it was never about that. It was just about having an authentic expression. And I knew it was an authentic expression because I wanted nothing to do with it. And in spite of me as a personality wanting nothing to do with it, everything expanded. One thing led to another. I ended up on Oprah. And subsequently, I had met lots of authors, and the running joke spirituality is that I was the only person that's doing keynotes at authors' conferences, 3,000 to 5,000 people without a book. I was the only person that got on Oprah without a book.
How was that, by the way?
I can just imagine.
And nobody could believe it. And just basically, through my willingness to just be myself, everything was happening. And the culmination of it came for me at the end of the Oprah interview, where she basically just said, that was fantastic, and you have to write the book. Trust me, you have to write the book. At that point, I'm
so it was Oprah's last words, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, oh, I write the book. You know, it's like just how Oprah booms it.
Yeah,
know?
No, I.
So for me, it was like, okay, write the book. And prior to that, Neil Donald Walsh had a similar conversation with me. You know, lots of people along the way had that conversation. And eventually, how I reconciled it was, the book in and of itself is an extension of this truth. And when people come into contact with it, something's triggered in them. So it's not just a self-help book where I'm regurgitating some 16th century philosopher in a modern context to write a book because I have a book contract. It's actually a living, breathing expression of this truth. And when people connect with it, they remember who they are. And that's finally how I could reconcile writing a book and being in this space. So that's how the book was born. And it's,
wow. Now, I have a question. You talk about conscious disruptor. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the majority of human behavior is completely robotic and unconscious. And so we're completely oblivious as to how the day goes by because we're just not aware in the midst of life. And conscious disruptors are ways in which we break patterns or habitual patterns. And literally, it's first of all, noticing that you're in the midst of a pattern. And that window of time is between kind of the external trigger and the urge or the craving. That's your golden moment. In that moment, if you can just breathe and relax and come into like a level of awareness, you start to get in touch with the emotion that's under the surface. Once you open up to experiencing that emotion, as you gradually begin to move through this, with your eyes wide open, you start to dismantle the pattern until the habitual behavior falls away. So the root cause of all addiction is an avoidance of emotion. And so if we could actually welcome emotion, and open up to emotion and experience it consciously, which means experience it within ourselves, naturally that diminishes the sense of overwhelm that we feel or the inability to cope begins to go away, and then the need to numb just falls away. So right now, every existing transformational paradigm is based on shifting your thoughts and shifting your reality, and that's way too superficial a way of looking at it.
I think that's... Artists,
we have to deal with our emotions. Have to deal with our anger, our fear, and our sadness in a conscious way.
I think that's...
That ends all the beliefs, and that ends the craving, that ends the cycle of addiction.
I definitely agree with that. How many times have we known something's bothering us? And I know I do it. I had to go to a funeral the other day, and my dad has passed away, and my grandmother, and I've had a lot of people, unfortunately, pass away. And I thought to myself, I just don't want to go there today. I don't want to be sad. It was for a priest at our church, so I kind of felt like I could sneak away and nobody would know. But I literally did not want to deal with those feelings because when you go to one funeral, everything comes back up. And I didn't go, which is so bad because it will catch up to me, I feel like, in a couple weeks probably. But I just didn't want to go there and be sad like that.
And I think that, you know, again, that's really sad because I think, you know, sadness and anger and fear have been so stigmatized, so compartmentalized, is unacceptable. And that's only because people don't want to look in the mirror of sadness, fear, and anger.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why people judge you for having those emotions is because they don't want to acknowledge they have them themselves. People want to live in this superficial world where, you know, everything's always great.
Right. Warren?
Yeah, what I really like about the conversation is that we're asking adults to be adults and, you know, to look at what goes on in their mind and look at what they're avoiding, look at what stories exist in their past or in the present that they're experiencing. I often use this with my clients of manning up to what are you avoiding? And what do we need to do in order to make that bearable so that the addictive behavior doesn't win the battle?
I love that, Warren. And again, you know, I think it's like, what about, and I'd love to address this, people that stuff their feelings. Are they just getting through life? They're not really living moment to moment and being authentic in everyday role. And then there's the person in a relationship where one person's very communicative and they know what they're feeling. They're trying to talk to the other person. The other person's stuffing. Give me some feedback on that, both of you. Panache?
Well, I don't think that, again, there's one brush that we can paint everybody with. I think sometimes the stuffing happens for lots of different reasons. Some people grow up in a household where, I mean, I had a conversation with somebody recently yesterday, and not to blow their anonymity, of course, but basically they grew up in a household where if they were experiencing sadness, anger, or fear, the parent was under the belief that they were possessed by the devil and would literally physically abuse them every day until they stopped, until eventually something just broke in that human being to the point where they couldn't express that. So, you know, there's a wide range of topical, superficial reasons as to why we get to a point of repression or suppression. I think we need to address it as a society and a culture. And instead of manning up, actually, what we need to do is start softening. I think that this culture of manning up is a part of the repression or suppression. It's like, just get on with it. I think that's killing us. I think ultimately, when we're aware of these unprocessed emotions, we have to acknowledge them and meet them with tenderness and stop being so hard on ourselves for being human, because we're always going to be human. And regardless of how enlightened we are or how evolved we are, these human characteristics are never going to go away. And so we have to embrace ourselves. We're going to meet ourselves with the same loving tenderness that a mother.
Right. Wow.
And we just embrace us in that space.
Now, so what advice do you have for any recovering addicts or for those seeking for guidance in their lives?
Well, I'd say, first of all, you're not broken. You don't need healing. You don't need fixing. You're not wrong. You're just doing the best that you can. And I love you. That's the first thing. Second thing is that there is an answer and a solution, and that is to actually embrace who you are. The population or the community that engages in addictive patterns or behaviors is probably the most empathic segment of society. It's just that they don't know what to do with the sheer weight of what they're feeling in any given moment. And so they have to turn to behaviors where they're numbing themselves. So please understand that you're not broken. You're not, you know, the stigma that society is trying to place on you, it's trying to place on you because recovery has become a $1 billion industry, as has everything else, that basically manipulates you out of your light, love, money, and power. And it's for that reason that you need to please start embracing who you are, to please start opening up and understanding that there's a core essence of love in you that's there and that nobody can take away from you. And that the more you start to accept and embrace who you are, as you are, the more you'll start to tap into that love until eventually you'll realize fully and completely why you are the way you are, why you express the way you express, why you feel so intensely, why the world can be so overwhelming and so harsh and so just all-encompassing. It's time to meet ourselves with love. It's time to come.
I've heard it before. Warren, I think we've all been on an interview where somebody said, fall in love with yourself, have a love affair with yourself.
It's so important to have that identity and not live in a space of just hating our own thoughts or hating the space that we're in. You know, to use the law of attraction, sort of a principle there is, you know, what I resist persists.
Wow, I love that.
Don't you think that's hard to do, Warren? Because I feel like when you do like yourself and you're okay with the things that aren't perfect, that I feel like that scares people or intimidates other people.
It definitely does. And I think there's tools that people use, whether it's self-loathing or whether it's, you know, some negative appearance, something that's there that allows them to play certain roles in their lives and allows them to justify behaviors and justify all sorts of things. So, you know, I think it's important to look at what is being produced by that.
Very good. Panache, what are we going to find in your book?
An answer.
I like that.
An anti-self-help book. By virtue of the fact that my hope is once you read it, really absorb what's there, you won't need to help yourself anymore. You'll have been helped.
Can I ask you a question? Why 33 days?
Because we didn't end up where we are overnight. And 33 days is a wonderful progression out of anger, sadness, fear, self-hatred, self-loathing, addictive patterns, behaviors, into a place of acceptance. And every day, literally, we meet for 5 minutes on the page in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening. And it's very practical, it's very accessible, it's real. And it allows you to put into practice immediately everything you're reading. So, you know, again, what I wanted to give people was a how-to manual out of judgment, into acceptance, out of fear, into love, and, of course, out of addiction and recovery into being recovered. And my deepest wish is that that's the function that it serves.
I love it, Panache. Thank you so much for being here. I'd love to get you back again. Question, is this a book that we're going to read one day at a time, or is it just 33 days?
Well, again, you know, there are people that have read it from cover to cover, and it's been as impactful as people who have embarked on the journey every day. And again, you know, the last thing you need in your life is another person
telling you what to do.
I think that's why we are where we are. So for God's sake, please just listen to your own heart, trust that, and know that either way, you can't mess it up, you can't fail. This is ultimately between you and yourself, and that you're loved.
I love it. Again, Panache Desai, where do we find out more about you?
PanacheDesai.com, PanacheDesai.com. Hit me up on Twitter or like me on Facebook.
There you go. Panache, you know what? Could you like our show so I can get back in touch with you? And I want to have you on again and again and again.
Perfect.
You got it. All right. Thank you so much, Panache Desai, Discovering Your Soul Signature 33-Day Path. With that, we are going to take a really quick break. We're all going to be here when we come back. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Charles Rubin. Don't Let Your Kids Kill You. And it's another book of really just finding out a guide for parents of drug and alcohol addicted children. And I've talked to Charles. This isn't his first book, but I'm telling you, this is going to be something that's going to help all of us. So with that, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. I do want to remind you of our other shows, 6 to 7, 7 to 8, and then, of course, this 2 to 3. And I want to thank all of our Soba Recovery Center, Evolve Treatment Center, and Center for Eating Recovery, and Warren Broad for being here with all of us. We have experts right at all of our hands right here that we can help you. So if there's something that you're going through, please either email us at kim@kimpaganoshow.com. I could put you in touch with any of these people, or call us right now at 419-0008. 419-0008. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Mission Oaks Cafe is a favorite destination for all Camarillo natives. Every plate is made with the highest of quality, using fresh ingredients from local farms, enriching your dining experience. Reserve a spot at one of their elegant wine pairing nights, where Chef Joseph Sharp is able to show off his talents of fine cuisine in a four-course meal paired with four fantastic wines from a local winery. Open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and for breakfast through dinner on Friday, Saturday, and Sundays. Full bar open later. Call 805-482-1022 to make a reservation. That's 805-482-1022. visit them online at www.missionoakscafe.com for their full menu and upcoming events.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until, that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair, and I know she's gonna do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's gonna change your life. She's gonna change the life of your hair, and she's gonna end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
MJ Holt is the owner of Thermal Imaging of SoCal, where she assists people who want to know what's happening in their body right now. Approved by the FDA in 1982, digital infrared thermal imaging is an unsurpassed, safe, non-invasive screening technique that detects the sympathetic nervous system that reacts and responds to pain, pathology, injury, or dysfunction anywhere in the body that may go undetected with X-ray and other tools. Thermal Imaging of SoCal is located in Westlake Village, here to serve by appointment. Call Thermal Imaging of SoCal when you are ready, 310-463-2318, or visit tiofsc.com.
Surfaces USA is your natural stone and tile superstore. Come browse the largest selection of natural stone, glass, porcelain, ceramic, and composite tile and slabs. Choose your kitchen or bath countertops from our rich selection of unique and exotic granite, marble, and onyx slabs. Ask about our installation project management and free design consultation services. We bring the wholesale directly to the public. Call us today, 805-604-1568, or visit us online at www.surfacesusa.com. Conveniently located at 380 South Lombard Street in Oxnard. Surfaces USA will help make your dream home a reality.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of recovery. And, of course, we love to give back, and I am going to give out some. Actually, let's, you know, we're talking about laughing, and I know our next guest, Charles Rubin, actually, he used to write a lot of comedy stuff, and we're going to find out a little bit more about him. But let's give out some tickets to Paseo Camarillo Cinemas, and that they present Laugh Out Loud, and it's Comedy Night Wednesday, April 15th. We've got tickets for you at 7:30, and give us a call right now here at 805-419-0008. Our next guest, Charles Rubin. We are going to find out a little bit about how not to let your kids kill you. And it's a guide for parents of drug and alcohol addicted children. And this book defies the myth that parents must sacrifice themselves. Instead of, it shows them how to reclaim their power, balance, and happiness in their lives. And again, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Jennifer Chastain, Tom Spence, Warren Broad, and I'm Kim. Let's invite Charles Rubin. Charles, are you there?
I certainly am.
Thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Recovery. Thank you so much.
Not at all.
Yeah. So tell us, a perfect name, I have to tell you. Warren, what's your thought?
Oh, I mean, it just inspires so much immediately. We all know someone that has been figuratively killed by their children.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing title. Me too.
Yeah. Charles, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wrote this book.
Okay. Well, you know, like a lot of people, and the gentleman just spoke, having one person in your family on drugs is, it's tremendously unsettling. Let's put it that way. It's a tragedy, really. I happen to have had three. Two of them were my children. Another one was my spouse. It was really a time of terror,
I did not know what was coming down. There was nothing out there. There were 12-step programs, but that was about it. And I did attend those. But this book that I wrote goes beyond 12-step programs. Goes right into the psyche of the parent. It goes into what they're about, why they think the way they do, and why they feel the guilt and the pain of having a child on drugs. And so I wrote it for myself. I wrote this sort of sketchy kind of book. It wasn't a book. It was a bunch of papers. And my agent was, at the time, was expecting a screen treatment from me. Never got it. It never got to him. But this book was something I told him about. I don't even remember how the conversation came up, and I know it was out of his anger at me. And so it came up, and I told him about it, and he latched right onto it. He said this book would be in every home in America. It is in a lot of homes in America, and also all over the world. It's an international bestseller.
Charles,
I never intended anything like this. This kind of success. I'm always hoping for success in the area of nonfiction, comedy, that kind of thing.
But this
which I've
was
had
your,
some of.
Charles, this was your real life. You were authentic writing this, and really, you hit everybody's home, because you know, as I was looking through your books, and Warren, you can kind of back me up on this. So many parents say, you know, especially nowadays, Jennifer and I were just talking about, you know, with the holidays right around the corner right now, it's like, what else do our kids need? We gave them too much. No, we didn't give them enough. Well, we should have done it this way. We shouldn't, you know, I mean, we're always doubting ourselves of what we were done. It's the only job in our life that we never had a manual,
you know, like a textbook to refer
to. Warren?
Well, yeah, it's something that you see all the time of just lost parents that that put the questions on themselves rather than the questions often where they should be.
Right. And we battle. We beat ourselves up. And, you know, dealing with a lot of the recovery centers that I'm working with now, it's not, you don't send your kid in like a, you know, a dry cleaning. Okay, go fix them. It's kind of be like the whole family gets fixed, you know?
Right.
We're kind of all something. It's even coming from maybe our family, you know, from where we came, from what we learned, from what your wife learned, you know, I mean, everybody brings a little piece into the family. Charles, what's your thought on that?
Well, what you say is absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's my thought. But I wanted to point out that this book is the only book on the market that addresses parents' problems. It has nothing to do with, I mean, it does. I mean, it's a byproduct.
Yeah.
It does have to do with the children, of course, but it's really the only source that many people have where they can burrow into this book. They can pick it up. They can. I know people who carry it around with them. They go from room to room. They have to dip into it every now and then. The pain of their children's choices is so severe. It's just paralyzing, and they have to have something that's going to give them some hope. The book is uplifting, I have to add.
I love
a downer or anything.
Yeah,
I read a short little piece a little bit ago, and it said, trying to bribe your children to stop doing drugs. And it's, you can give them money, you can give them cars. And it's so funny because I know several people who have kids who were on drugs, and they would give them a car, and it makes no sense. But for some reason in their minds, they thought, well, if we give them a car, they'll get a job, and they'll probably start making the right choices.
And
yeah, the only thing that the child or the person on drugs wants is to replenish those drugs.
Absolutely.
And doesn't care about a job or school or any kind of motivation like that. They care about, how am I going to get my next fix? And they don't, as I pointed out I sent you some information. When a child takes drugs, he becomes the drug. He or she becomes the drug. That drug has no love or affection or loyalty or any of that going on. The drug just wants to survive within the host. That's all it is. It's like a virus or something. It just wants to replenish and grow and be and exist. And the child or whomever it is, you know, the book is not just for parents of children on drugs. It's also serves as a source of aid for anyone who has anyone in their family who might be addicted to something.
Charles, what is the biggest thing that we're going to read in your book that's helped you and helped so many other people?
That the parent or the person who is suffering must drop the suffering and the, you know, wringing of hands and all of that and get back to living. This is the greatest weapon against drugs, by the way, you know, the drug cartels. This book, sometimes I look over my shoulder when I leave the house because, you know, because it is, the parent is the answer to the drug situation. Now, parents don't talk about their dilemma. They don't talk about the fact they have kids on drugs. They don't want anybody to know. They don't want the relatives to know. For them, it's very shameful. They don't want anyone to know. So therefore, it becomes an enormous secret. It's one of the biggest secrets on the planet that there are so many kids on drugs.
Yeah,
they don't go outside the house, and they don't go to other people.
Warren,
so the book is just simply telling you that has to go. If you know, you have to pick up your life again. You have to do the very best to be happy. To, you know, get out there, get back to work, get, you know, take vacations, do all the things that I don't know if such a thing as normal people, but that other people do, you know, paint the living room, do the jobs
so,
that you.
So you're saying when, and Warren, help me out here, is when we're going through a turmoil time in our life, when our kids, if, you know, we realize that our kids are having mental health, or our kids are going, you know, our spouse, somebody in our family is disrupting our life, their life, and our family life. It's kind of hard to do what you're saying, in a sense, to just go on vacation, because how does that work, Warren? I mean, you deal with a lot of families, and I get that, you know, Charles, you were there, and this is something that you're sharing with everybody. How do you get enough courage to do that, or do you?
It's almost impossible, but you have to do it, and you will reap the rewards. You will find one of the things that happens is that if you have a child on drugs and you've been you know, giving them a car and giving them money and letting them steal stuff and doing all this, that child, when you start to recover, they will take notice of it. At first, they'll become resentful that you've stopped all that other behavior, and they will, you know, they'll even get even somewhat worse. You'll find your very precious things stolen. You'll find they become violent. You know, you can get beaten up, certainly. I mean, many parents are. There are parents of, say, 80, 90 years old who still have 60-year-old drug-addicted children living at home stealing their Social Security checks.
So I think what I want to say, and Warren, help me out here, is I think you're saying get a backbone. Get a backbone and don't let these kids walk all over you. Is that
Absolutely.
Correct? Okay. Warren, help us.
Yeah, I think there's a component of that. And what I really like about Charles's point here, that is very, very seldom, if ever, mentioned, that is sort of this idea that the drug cartels and the drug business really likes this secrecy component that we all tend to fall into of, let's not talk about this, which essentially allows behaviors to continue. And that's a really, you know, kudos to you, Charles, for bringing that topic up, because it really is. Secrecy plays no positive benefit in recovery at all, whether it's the parents' recovery or whether it's the children's recovery. It's just not a good feature, and it's a good point to have out in the open that secrecy is not how we're going to get anywhere.
And you know what I have to say, as a mom of four, Jennifer's got her children, Tom's got his, you know, and all my listeners out there, I know it feels degrading. It feels like we didn't do a good job, But it's not us. It's the way of life, unfortunately. And the sooner we bring this to a head, as really, Warren, you brought out, is what Charles is saying, is don't keep it a secret. I mean, we need to act on these things immediately and don't lose our life over it, right?
And I was looking through the book, absolutely, there was a chapter that I looked at about forgiving yourself, because as parents, no matter who we are, we really are trying to do the best we can. And sometimes that child just needed more, and there was no way you could have ever fulfilled that for them.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you need to just forgive yourself, because you did the best you could. There was nothing you could do to really, in a lot of cases, to help them anymore.
Yeah. Charles, give us some of the things that you went through in your life and that you've put in the book, so you know, we can share your book with everybody.
Well, the scenario is cookie cutter, actually. It's so common in all of these homes today. As I was the breadwinner, go off to work, come home, find everybody sort of spaced out. I would find the destruction in the house that you would never believe. There were holes in the walls. You could drive a Jeep through. Nobody knew how they got there. And then there would be the violence, threats, so on and so forth. It was like a horror film. And being the only one that wasn't addicted to something, except to my children, of course.
Right.
I mean, that's, I was addicted to them, but I wasn't addicted to a drug. I was the odd man out, and so as a result, I became the enemy. And once I brought up the idea of, I'm sorry about the other phone ringing. Once I brought up the subject, the topic of the day, drugs, or why you like this or whatever, it became you know, a time for hysteria, mass. I wouldn't call this. It was. I really felt threatened just by even mentioning it. So that was what home life was.
You know,
went on for a long time. And finally, what I did was, when I found the theft to be too much. I mean, there was money taken out of bank accounts. I don't know how they did it, but they're very clever, very clever. I called the police. And one of my sons went into a rehab for 18 months. He later said it was the happiest time of his life. But guess what? The week he came out, he went back on drugs.
So
the disappointment, the we had been formerly this model family. People looked at us and said, "Wow, what a family! Incredible! They do all this." But as soon as the kids turned, you know, got into puberty, that ended. And so people thank me all the time for having written this book, because they themselves would never have. I don't want to brag about it. Yes, I do.
Yeah, the guts. You know, should.
I'm bragging.
Yeah, no.
I'm bragging. Yeah, they would never have written this book. They wouldn't have had the guts to write it.
Right.
Charles, I wrote
where are you at now in your family?
My wife
at the time has passed.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, just recently. That was very, it was a grievous time, grievous. Still is. I mean, it was only in December. But two of the children, they're not on drugs anymore, but it doesn't matter, because their thinking is similar to a drug addict's way of thinking. And this is what happens when people get onto drugs at an early age, is that they don't mature the same way as others.
Warren, speak to that.
Yeah, I would certainly agree. One of the things they talk about in many treatment plans is that essentially maturity stops at the point that the addiction started. So this is usually, we see 30, 40, 50-year-olds that are acting like they're 20.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
Or teenagers. I mean, I think I would put the emotional age of my children for somewhere around 12, 11, 12. They make the most idiotic decisions.
I always feel like I have some friends that did not take the right path, and we still keep in touch because we've known each other our entire lives. But I remember their mom saying, "I wish they would just go away." And they literally moved. And the mom said, but they came with us. Like they moved to that city. And she said, that's the problem with drug addicts. They won't go away.
God.
They won't go away. And I joke that I'm getting a sperm recall.
Oh, God. You know what, Charles? I want to have you back. This has been amazing. We are at the end of our show. I love when we have great guests. It just flies by. Where do we find your book?
Pardon?
Where do we find your book?
Oh, any bookstore. I mean, Barnes & Noble or Amazon, or they can order it through me if you want to give them the telephone number.
Okay.
We send out dozens of them.
Okay, perfect. Give that number out.
Okay, it's 707-769-9808.
Warren, give out your number so anybody can get in touch with you.
Sure, 705-787-6228.
God, what a great show, and thank you so much for being so real. And again, Charles Rubin, don't let your kids kill you. This is a guide for parents of drug and alcohol addicted children. Charles, I want to have you back. Warren, thanks so much for being here. Jennifer, Tom, and all of our listeners, we want you to be a part of everything that we're doing here. Get one of our newsletters and find out about everybody here. And of course, we're on every weekend. And of course, I want to end this show with a moment of happiness. There isn't anything in your life that cannot be changed. With that, you've been listening to The Brighter Side of Recovery. Thanks so much. Stay with us, and we'll be back next week.
Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.